Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me on Walk Your Talk with Leanne this morning. For you Westerners, it is really early. It is 7 a.m. my time here in Los Alamos, New Mexico. And you Easterners, it's 9 o'clock. Maybe you're up having your coffee on your way to work or you're already there. Wherever you at your station in life this morning, I am really thankful that you have decided to join me this morning. You know, we've got a really interesting show for you this morning. And before I go into all the details on that, I just want to tell you a little bit about me. If it's your first time tuning in, I am Leanne Parsons, and I am the Walk Your Talk coach as well as the CEO at the Tapestry of Adoption, the missing thread, the voice of the adoptee. And I am joined today by a sweet, amazing woman, and her name is Pam, and I will be introducing her in just a moment. But for our live listeners today, if you would like to call in to interact with Pam or myself, I want to go ahead and give you that number now. The number is 646-716-9397, and you are welcome to join us. You know, I am part of the Life Coach Radio Network. We are a group of over 40 coaches, and we are on three networks now. We have the Life Coach Radio Network, the Life Coach Chat Channel, and Life Coach International Radio. And we have shows pretty much every day of the week, so I do encourage you to tune in and look and see on LifeCoachRadioNetworks.com to see when our shows are coming up. And so without further ado, I would like to take a moment right now and introduce my lovely guest, Pam. Pam is a reunited adoptee with her two sisters and her birth mom, who passed away last October. She is also the vice president of the American Adoption Congress and in 2012, Angel on Adoption. Pam also hosts a radio show on Blog Talk Radio called the AAC News and Views, and she is currently writing a children's book. So we are really, really blessed and thankful to have Pam with us. Pam, welcome.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And Pam, could you pronounce your last name for me
sure.
and for our listeners? Because I don't want to misspeak your name.
Sure. It's Krosky.
Krosky. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So welcome, Pam Krosky, to Walk Your Talk
with Leanne.
You are very welcome. So, Pam, in our introduction for you, we talked about the AAC, the American Adoption Congress. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your organization this morning?
Sure. I've been a part of the AAC since, I believe, 2009. So it's an amazing organization. It was founded long before I came in the picture in 1978. And, you know, we do, you know, connect with people basically on the national level. We support and we advocate and we legislate for adoptee laws, along with probably a million other things. And, you know, one of our biggest accomplishments is putting on a conference once a year, and it's just amazing, and we love to do it, and the education you get from it really is life-changing.
Fantastic. And so tell us maybe just a little bit more about that conference. Is it a conference for adoptees? Is it a conference for counselors, social workers? What type of conference is that?
Right. It's basically for everyone. And how we started out is it's usually like a Wednesday through Sunday or a Thursday through Sunday type conference. And first day, what we like to do is to do a professional day. So that gives social workers, educators a chance to come and listen to, you know, adoption professionals that, you know, do counsel in these areas or that, you know, have possibly written books, but, you know, that are really focused on the biological mother, the first mother, the adoptee, and, you know, give a good insight of how all those parties are feeling and how to, improve on the counseling, you know, techniques, obviously, or, you know, just to be able to know the language and be able to discuss it. And it's so big, and it's so, you know, like, you know, it's mass that, you know, we have so many adoptees in this, you know, world, and so many adoptive parents and first mothers that, you know, can really use, you know, some insight, some help, you know, and it's kind of an amazing, you know, thing to do.
Oh, I love that. And, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because within the adoption triad, not everybody throughout the course of their life, whether they're a first mom, an adoptee, or an adopted parent, we don't hear about all of these things that are kind of going on in the world. And the beautiful thing that you shared as well is that there is a special language.
Right,
The adoption triad. Yeah, absolutely. And to have that opportunity to carve out a few days to really go learn the language, meet with other adoptees and people within that realm has got to be a pretty powerful experience for all the attendees.
It is. It is really just, it's honestly, it's amazing. You know, I think, you know, when I attended in 2009, I had a friend that just was really interested in getting me to go. And I thought, you know, I've been in reunion for years. So how am I going to learn anything, you know? And you would just be amazed. I mean, it is so it's kind of intense, actually, but in a good way. And I have been really fortunate to have met lifelong friends that I think, you know, regardless of being part of the AAC or not, we'll always be friends. And it's amazing. You have people that have similar stories and experiences that you definitely will connect with. And it's just, it really is just changing you from the inside out, you know.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. And, you know, that's a lot of the work that I do as a certified professional life coach, you know, specializing in working with adoptees and their families to really help them figure out what that missing thread is. And oftentimes, that thread is the language, that thread is the voice that each one of us have that's really unique, and it's a beautiful language. And, you know, when I go on the AAC website, I just love the very first page says, adoption, no secrets, no fear. You know, that is, you know, definitely, you know, my vision as far as raising awareness one conversation at a time, that we really don't need to have the secrets and we really don't need to go into it with fear, because we are within this beautiful triad that we kind of live in. It's kind of our family. I feel like we're sisters, Pam, just because of our, you know, past history. And when we think about the fact of our beautiful triad, we can look at it as a family. And so I'm understanding just from hearing you and your energy and excitement about the conference that's going on, that it's a really powerful experience for everyone, and that there is a tremendous degree of connection and the courage even to start to do that work from the inside out.
That's true. It really, I mean, I think that is the biggest thing. I mean, you and I know that to have that courage and ability to talk about it isn't easy for everyone. And, you know, for me, I'm a blabbermouth and can just talk about my experience no problem. But I have a lot of adoptee, you know, friends and acquaintances that isn't such an easy process for them. And there is fear around it. And for, you know, first moms that have been shamed for so long, again, not necessarily an easy experience.
Absolutely. You know, as we have both, I'm sure, done an incredible amount of reading and studying in this area, you know, the women that were sent away and, you know, as the first moms, and they really did live with a lot of shame and guilt and a tremendous amount of pain that many of them are still carrying with them today. And even the adoptee can experience some of that as well just by not knowing their story. And so it sounds like the AAC really does provide a safe place to go ahead and start exploring those. different relationships, as well as, you know, the relationship with us, because as we know, nobody can protect us from our own stories, that we kind of do have to walk that road. And to have somebody stand shoulder to shoulder with us on that journey, whether it be at a conference or on a day-to-day basis with a special friend, a coach, whoever that would be, is of incredible value.
That is exactly right, yeah. And it's so comforting
so comforting to us.
I was just going
to
say, it's so comforting, I think, to even know that someone, even if their story isn't exactly like yours, there's a familiarity, and you feel connected to your friends that are kind of in the trenches with you, and you definitely make a difference in each other's lives.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, just not being afraid to share your story. And the minute that you share that you are part of that beautiful, you know, your heart has been touched by adoption in some way, it's kind of an amazing beauty that happens, the connection with other people. I know when I have had conversations with my clients, my friends, different people that I have met out in the world, and when I start to share a bit of my story, all of a sudden it gives them a little bit of courage to share and open up with their story.
Right.
And that can, you know, definitely start on the path to some amazing discoveries. So,
Fantastic. I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us about that conference. Can you share with us the dates of the upcoming conference that the AAC will be offering?
Sure. It's going to be in San Francisco, which is an amazing place to go anyway. And the dates are the 9th through the 13th of April.
Okay. And
if you go
2014.
Yeah. Yep, 2014, and you can go to AmericanAdoptionCongress.org, and there will be all the details eventually up there. They should be up there soon. And there's even, you know, a hotel that we have at a discounted rate, so that makes it a little more affordable for everyone. So you're more than welcome to stay wherever. But this hotel has a little bit of a discounted rate we try to get for the attendees.
Mm-hmm. And so will the conference be held at that hotel then?
Yes, yeah. And that makes it so much easier because, you know, literally you get up, you get ready, you have breakfast, and you're there, you know. It's very much a lot less hassle if you would stay there, just because you'll have that convenience of being right there. You know, some people may have family or something like that, and that's the other thing, too. You can... You know, obviously, we would love for you to come for the whole conference, but, you know, if there's only a day you can attend or 2 days, we can customize it for that also.
Great. Well, it sounds like you really make it easy for people to attend and really convenient.
Yeah.
And that's
great.
That's very powerful. So, Pam, I understand that maybe you went to the conference the first time in 2009.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Okay, fantastic. Can you share with us a takeaway that you learned in 2009? I know I'm kind of asking, you know, this is a few years ago here, but what would be a takeaway that you got from that conference that really propelled you forward and made you want to be a part of this amazing organization?
Well, you know, I think... even getting me to go, I'm kind of a homebody, this was only in Ohio, so from Indiana to Ohio, obviously it's not that far, but, you know, we were going to be gone 4 or 5 days, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, you come up with all these reasons why not to go. You know, I've got to do this, I've got animals, you know, whatever, and I finally decided to tell myself, okay, you need to go and, you know, give this a try. And, you know, you get there, you sign up, and immediately you kind of already feel part of something bigger. And so the next day, you know, you've kind of looked over the pamphlet, and you've looked that each day has a set of workshops, kind of divided up, you know, morning, lunch, dinner kind of thing almost. And one of the first workshops I went to was done by a man named Ron Nydam, who, if anyone's never really heard him speak or anything, we actually have one of his keynotes on our website. And Ron's amazing. He's not even part of the triad, but this man has the best insight to the triad that is, you know, just unheard of. And he also just survived a bout with leukemia and has come out on the other side of this healthy, and he's, you know, gaining strength every day. And he actually came to the conference this past April, and we had done it in Ohio again. It was kind of a return to Cleveland kind of thing. And the workshop that he did was called a Romantic Radar for Adoptees. So basically,
oh, wow.
You know, talked about, talking about how adoptees pick, you know, relationships, you know, spouses, boyfriends, friends. And it just was something I had never heard, you know, how the adoptee is sensitive, that we pick up things that a lot of people just kind of, you know, kind of glaze over. And that's not necessarily true for everyone. But adoptees have this heightened, you know, sensitivity to things, I think. And he talks about that. And, of course, it's more in-depth and sounds way better than I'm explaining it. But I walked out of that workshop thinking, oh, my gosh, that's me. That's what I feel. That's how I've been. And I realized at that point I had a lot of work I wanted to do, not had to do or, you know, whatever. I wanted to do this and to figure out, you know, so many things in my life. And it, I believe, was the first step for me to kind of take a look back over the past, you know, so many years of my life and realize, you know, the things I had, you know, decisions I had made and things like that, and change my outlook. And it just, like I said, it was just life-changing, I think. And it just went on from there. The whole conference was basically like that. And I had heard people share stories. I've, you know, run support groups. But this somehow was different, I think, because, you know, literally that's what this entire, you know, 4 days or 3 days is about. And you spend literally that entire time, you know, being able to talk about what you want. And, you know, if there's a time where you're kind of overloaded, which sometimes that happens, you can also just, you know, take a break. You could go walk around, you know, for this conference, go walk around San Francisco. You know, you're not in any way, you know, made to have to stay there, you know, day in, day out. So that's also a good option to kind of give yourself a break. But it's, you can go to as much or as little as you'd like in those 3 or 4 days and just make the biggest strides in your life. And, you know, it'll open your eyes to quite a bit of how you react to things and how you feel, and really just kind of get you focused on yourself. And it's really hard to do that. You know, we really try to focus on our families and everything else, and this is a time where you can focus on yourself and really just putting yourself in a better place.
Beautiful. Yeah, that was a great synopsis. And, you know, when you were sharing, what was really popping up for me was when you shared about the feeling about being a part mm-hmm. of something bigger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know in my own life and within the realm of my view on my life, my adoption, my reunification, and all of that, you know, there have been times where I've really kind of felt alone in that process. I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a 60s girl. Are you a 60s girl too?
I am.
And so, And so, you know, that era of time, there was a tremendous amount of secretism. And there was a lot of, you know, I don't know if in your world, but in my world, it was like, hey, you know, Leanne, it's okay. You were wanted. We love you. And you really don't need to ask a lot of other questions. You're with us now. And, you know, that kind of stopped. And I don't want to say stole my voice, but in some ways it did. In the fact that, and no disrespect, you know, to my adopted parents at all, because they did the best they could with what they knew and the support that they had. right? And so, you know, times where we can get together with other adoptees and first moms and everybody, we have an opportunity there then to really start to be part of something bigger. Because my vision, my vision and my practice and with the Adoptees Voice is to really raise that awareness and provide safe places for all of us to share and to, you know, provide a sense of community and family for us where we can come together and we can start to. I loved your word, too, as well as when you said taking big strides. You know, oftentimes we are aware that the hardest step is that first step out the door. And raising that awareness, going maybe with a buddy to something like this, or even going by yourself or with a family member, oftentimes could really bring a tremendous amount of opportunity to explore the possibilities within our life that maybe we hadn't seen before. And I love that you brought up Ron. Now, he, if I understand and remember correctly, he did a lot of work with DNA stuff. Is that true?
No, that's Richard Hill that's done a lot of DNA stuff. Ron has done mostly, he has a book, it's called Adoptees Come of Age. And so he's kind of focused on, you know, how adoptees have made decisions in their life, whether, you know, it be just like I said, like friendships or spouses and the whole dynamics of how an adoptee kind of forms those relationships and, you know, kind of on what they need and want out of other people. And it's kind of hard that, you know, adoptees are very, I think they're very, like I said, sensitive, so that, you know, having friendships and relationships, we're very focused on how the other person feels, I think, a lot of times. And, you know, we're very aware of that, even for adoptees who, you know, then go on to have children, which is a whole new experience for an adoptee because often these children are the first biological connection they have. And it really is a learning process. But anyway, his book, Adoptees Come of Age, it's a really good book. It's, you know, nothing huge. It's easy reading, and it's really just touches home for a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah, I knew his name was familiar to me. That must have been what it was. So, yeah, thanks for that clarification, because I really do believe that there are amazing resources out there for us, and oftentimes we don't tap into those. Just because you know, there's many things that can stop us,
right?
But I really want to echo what you shared as well, that we are pretty intuitive. And, you know, being touched by the heart of adoption does have a ripple effect into every area of our lives. And I think that's an issue that a lot of people forget, is that it affects the way we parent. It affects us as spouses and partners and friends. It even affects us as a coworker or an employee or employer, that there are different, you know, things that come up for us, that layers, you know, the layers of the onion, right, as they get peeled away and reveal that core of who we really are and what makes us tick really does jump out in a lot of ways. So, beautiful. Well, for our listeners, I just want to go ahead and repeat our phone number again. If you would like to call in to chat with either myself, Leanne, or my beautiful guest, Pam, the number is 646-716-9397. So beautiful. Well, let's go ahead and chat a little bit. Pam, if you could share with us a bit about your story. You know, we've talked already this morning about the importance of connection, the importance of heightened awareness, community, coming together, and really listening to each other's stories. And I also heard in your time of sharing with me this morning that you've even led support groups. So it sounds like you have done a lot of exploration in your life into your own beautiful world. So
yeah, I think, go ahead, sorry.
No, go for it. Just go ahead, and share with us what you feel like would be, you know, Adoption Awareness Month. right, is in November.
Right.
We are two weeks away, and my goal and my vision is really starting to raise that awareness for Adoption Awareness Month, to get people excited about it and what is up and coming in November, and to, you know, really start these conversations going. And so what is really important for those of us who have been touched by the heart of adoption to know right now at this juncture?
Well, I think for me, always what, when I've, you know, done anything, you know, during the month of November, I feel like, you know, trying to change people's, you know, basically their awareness. What do they know? You know, a lot of assumptions are made that really the average public and, you know, anyone who's worked to try to change any kind of legislation, you know, quickly realizes how little the public knows, how little the senators and representatives know. And so there's a wonderful woman, Jean Strauss, who has, you know, made a few films that are perfect for people to take and do legislation with. And they basically follow, you know, a couple of states, you know, having their records, you know, changed and opened and, you know, to have an access state. And they're just amazing. And another film she's done is called Adopted for the Life of Me. And it's another film that follows adoptees. Usually, I think the average age in this film is probably 50 and over. And I, you know, her whole purpose to do that was to show basically adoptees connecting with their biological families is not something necessarily that's just a young person thought process. It is, it extends from as soon as a child knows to the point of a person passing away. And her films are really good at following these people and telling their story and, you know, showing the hits and misses and coming close to, you know, finding their biological parents. And, you know, some of them, the elderly that are in the film, actually pass away before the end of the film is over. And it's just a great insight. So I think that's an option, is to be able to show films to the public, to, or even also to your fellow first moms and adoptees and anyone involved in the triad, the adoptive parent. You know, it just gives people this, almost like, you know, this view that you wouldn't have seen had you not, you know, had this film. And the AAC does that. They are, you know, we're a huge film encouraging, you know, group that we have. Usually a couple of films we show every year at our conference and give anyone who's there the ability to watch these films and kind of sit back and, you know, relate themselves with these stories and to also then think, how can I, you know, go on from today and, you know, think what I can show, you know, to other people. I can show this film, you know, to other audiences, myself, or, you know, just learn things about yourself from the film. And I think that's huge in, you know, National Adoption Awareness Month. Let's figure out, you know, our own lives and how we can touch other people that are, you know, in the similar place, you know, as we are. And if we start there, you know, it's kind of a ripple effect and really, I think, can reach a massive amount of people.
Absolutely. And so how, could you share with us the name of the gal that you told us about just a minute ago? That
Jean Strauss. Yeah, if you want to Google, and the movie, one of her movies, is Adopted for the Life of Me. And one of the other films is called, I believe, if I'm saying this correctly, it's A Simple Piece of Paper. That's what it's called. And it actually follows the Illinois state law changing of adoptee records. And that's another really great, you know, way for you to kind of get in touch and kind of watch that process and really see how that affects an adoptee. Or, you know, affects the biological family, because it does. And it's just really an amazing process. And it is probably, you know, one of the coolest things to be able to see evolve and realize how much it really does affect a person's entire being, I think.
Absolutely. You know, oftentimes people will think that the adoption, you know, kind of starts and stops when that first paper or that last paper is signed. And
right.
the child goes with their forever family and everybody goes their own way at that point. And,
right.
you know, oh my goodness, what an incredible misconception on the
right.
adoption process, because it is, you are adopted for a lifetime. It's not
right.
just that moment. And to be able to follow those stories, I would encourage our listeners, yeah, to look that up, to attend the AAC conference. I know I'm going to be going to San Francisco next year. I'm super pumped about it and very excited to be there and to stand shoulder to shoulder with others who are walking this road. So thank
right,
you for
right.
all of that information, Pam. And so during my little commercial break, I'm going to give you a chance to breathe, get a drink of water, whatever you need to do. And
all
then
right.
I would love to go into a little bit more of your story in our last several minutes together. Would
okay.
be great. So, listeners, I do want to take just a moment and share with you about some upcoming shows that we have on Life Coach Radio Network. Tomorrow at 1 p.m., please join in with Coach Mandy as she talks about training your brain and upping your game. She's a delightful coach that I have had the pleasure to work with on a few occasions and really do enjoy her. Also, on Monday the 21st at 9 p.m., you can join Frank Talk, and you can find out more about all of his variety of shows on the Life Coach Radio Network. Also, Tuesday the 22nd, please join in with Coach Jeff as he talks about Fun to Fortunes, the entrepreneur startup programs to success that he offers. And then Leanne, the Walk Your Talk coach, actually will be on Blog Talk Radio again via Life Coach Radio Network on November the 7th. And I am really excited about this show, and I'm going to save a little bit of excitement and anticipation for that show. So I ask you to keep watching Facebook, Twitter, or my website for further information about my November show. I am going to be focusing on adoption awareness issues, more than likely, Lord willing, through the end of this year, and really highlighting different adoptees, first moms, adoptive families to share their stories with us here on Life Coach Radio Networks. I am very, very honored to have a relationship with so many wonderful people and really want to bring them to you and have you hear their voice surrounding this beautiful triad. So again, for our listeners, if you would like to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-9397. So thanks, Pam, for giving me that little commercial break. And again, for your love and your passion for all of us in this adoption community. And so if you would share with us a little bit about your story now, and perhaps let's start with what led you to the desire to reunite with your biological family.
My desire probably was, I would say, probably immediate. I don't know exactly at what age my parents, you know, told me. I am conscious of maybe like the age of 5. And I honestly knew at that moment, and I really felt like I knew I would search and I would find, you know, of some aspect of, you know, my biological heritage. And, of course, I assumed it to be my mom because that's, I think, what a lot of adoptees, not all, but a lot tend to focus on their, you know, biological mother and head that direction, maybe due to the maternal, you know, connection we have or want to have and or maybe lack of having even had as you were, you know, growing up. And then some people, it's not that case at all. There's just either a curiosity or they, you know, just they just want to know. And I think I fall under probably all of those categories. And so I immediately wanted to search at the age of probably, I think I was 18. Well, in Indiana, you can't register with the mutual consent registry that's here. You can't really do much. I was so discouraged when I made that call, and that's the information I got. And, you know, as time went on, I got married. I had a son and was now home and could spend some time searching. And that was, of course, what I did. And it really didn't take me too long. I found my biological mother and two sisters, and that relationship existed pretty intensely. And my adoptive parents, you know, got the chance to meet my mother and to spend some time. We even did some birthdays together. And my adoptive father passed away just a few years into my reunion. But, you know, my reunion continued, and really there obviously was no perfection in it. There's a lot of highs and lows, and I think that's what everyone who goes into a reunion doesn't understand, and they really just need to have this ability to stick with it, you know, talk to people that are in reunion and kind of keep moving, because it's really a relationship that, you know, needs to be fed and kept going. Like anything else, a friendship or a marriage or, you know, anything that you, you know, love and want to put time into. And, you know, I just was very fortunate. They were close by, and I could spend a lot of time with them. My sisters were really young when I found them. They were only 9 and, I think, 12 at the time. And so I literally got to watch them grow up, go to prom, get married. I was in their weddings, and they're having their children now. My youngest is 22, so our kids are quite a few years apart, but it's still amazing, you know, all the same. And last October, our mother passed away from breast cancer. She was diagnosed in November of 2011 and was gone by October of 2012, so it was really quite fast and really devastating for us. But thankfully, we have each other, and we really have a good, strong bond as sisters, and we have, I don't know whether other people think it's a good sense of humor, but we think it is, and I think that's what keeps us going, and we now have decided to kind of spend a weekend, you know, in October during that month, you know, with each other, and it's just, it's actually like 24 hours. We spend the night, we, you know, shop and, you know, entertain ourselves and laugh and cry and, you know, do whatever we can in that 24 hours and then kind of, you know, go back to normal living. But it's kind of become our thing to do. And it's really an amazing relationship, and it's grown over time because, you know, as I said, they were children when I found them. They were, you know, too old to be my children, but, you know, really here I was having children and they were young. And so it was a really interesting process as it all kind of unfolded. And fortunate for me, especially, that it stayed strong. And, you know, my two sisters are just really, you know, great, you know, human beings and great, you know, family people. And, you know, traditions are important to them, and they're important to me. And I think that's just been probably the best advantage of it all, was, you know, having siblings and being able to enjoy that. I had an adoptive brother that actually was killed in a car accident in 1988. So I was raised with a sibling, a boy, obviously, a brother. And so then to then find two sisters, crazy, you know, just a wonderful thing to even have a second chance at having siblings and being able to share that experience. And I can't think of anything better, you know. And I know not every reunion ends up like that, and by no means has my reunion been any kind of perfect at all. There has been, you know, quite a few times where I go, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to, you know, go another day? Because there are things that adoptees feel that maybe other people in the family don't understand. So it's really it's a process, and that's why you have, you know, places like the AAC, you have people like you that you can share these feelings with, and you can, you know, grow from them and, you know, hopefully stay with your reunion and kind of just grow with it.
Right, because it is a growth process. And so when you shared, thank you so much for being so honest and transparent with us with part of your story. I do not take that lightly, and I'm very honored that you would do that live with us this morning. And so you said that adoptees have different challenges than their biological siblings. Can you expound on that a little bit for us and share what that looks like?
Well, I think for me, watching, you know, kind of watching my sisters, you know, they have this immediate connection, you know, with, you know, like our mother, and there was this just kind of unspokenness, like as if, you know, they knew her moods, they knew, you know, her behavior, they knew, you know, it was just kind of an unfaltering, you know, love. Well, for me, it wasn't like that at all, and it was almost, it would be a challenge every time we were together because I was always looking, finding, trying to discover, trying to figure out, you know, how is this relationship going to evolve? Because it has to. If it doesn't, that is when reunion can go wrong really fast. So to, you know, watch this process, and I think the other thing, too, is to read books, watch movies, talk to people, and realize that it's a process that's constantly ongoing. I mean, all the time. I think with my sisters, I'm fortunate because I know some people have met siblings and maybe it hasn't been as smooth. But I am fortunate in the fact that my sisters really do want to work on it and they want to, you know, stay focused and we all to be a part of each other, you know. So I think that's an amazing part. So, you know, I think that being able to stay with it and really just take a deep breath and focus and try and find out, you know, when you feel these certain things, because adoptees often have a lot of fight or flight or, you know, fear, or there's insecurity and there's the sensitivity. There's all these things that play a part, and it's really important for us to recognize them, you know, and acknowledge that it's okay to have those feelings and to be that way. And try really hard to, you know, get to the bottom of it and figure out, you know, why are you feeling that way? You know, what's causing that? And then from there, you can kind of almost just take a deep breath and figure out what you can do to keep this reunion, you know, working. I mean, I'm sure there are points where some reunions can't work out and there is an emotional difference or, you know, a difference altogether in personalities. So, you know, each person's different, and that doesn't make it wrong. But I think you just have to kind of figure out what is good for you and your family and what you can do to, you know, kind of make it exist and happen and you know, stay with it, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, you shared that willingness to work. And it is, you know, it's a work in progress and process that we really do, you know, we need to be willing. If we're going to take the step for a reunion, we need to understand that there will be work involved.
Right.
And, you know, that relationships, no matter what, they do require work. And they require an intentionality to them, and that same intentionality applies all across the board. And how very fortunate for you that you had a family that you reunited with that were willing to do the work and are continuing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you all have these different thought processes that come into play and different emotions. And, you know, I'm sure at different times each one of you have felt like you were on the outside kind of peeking in a window at each other's lives to try and figure out how everything works in their world. And, you know, I agree with you. There's a lot of flight or fight issues. There's a lot of fear and insecurities. And oftentimes speaking with somebody and during that reunion process or before and beyond it, that acknowledging and validating where we are and what we're going through, it's huge. And a lot of people who have not been touched by the heart of adoption really don't get it. And so they try, but oftentimes it's confusing for them. Because like we shared at the beginning of our time together this morning, we have and speak a different language.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, there are certain things that come up for us that don't come up for a lot of other people who have not been touched by the heart of adoption. So I really appreciate the fact that you were willing to share all of that with us. And, you know, we are coming kind of to a close here. I would love to hear a little bit more about what you feel in all of your experience with as the VP of AAC and leading the support groups and different things. What have you found that has been some of the subjects or challenges that keep adoptees up at night, that prevent them from sleeping through the night, that, you know, kind of keep coming into their thoughts along that process? And it, you know, doesn't have to be age-related, because like you said, you know, it can start at age 5 all the way until, you know, we go meet our maker someday and, you know,
Right. Meeting
him in the process. And so what do you find has been a real commonality?
Well, I think honestly for, I think it's that desire to know where we've come from. I think that is essential to where we're going to go. So it's almost this directional thing that there is a missing puzzle piece. We need to fill that in. There's all these analogies that we can use, you know, that really fit for us, because we know there's something missing. We know from the beginning there is a part of us that's missing. We've experienced a type of trauma, a loss. And I think that's, you know, one of the common things that we're out to figure out, how we can fill that void, how we can, you know, make the change, how we can just, you know, learn to trust our instincts and, you know, better our relationships. I think all of that is just, you know, it just falls into place after you either, you know, are in reunion or you've decided where you want to do things with the search. I think that's just kind of this path we follow, and we do feel more complete when we've gotten to make some of those decisions for ourselves, because, like, again, you know, we've said a lot of these decisions are taken away from us. We don't get to make them. And so to be able to actually, you know, say, you know, I went and I found and I did this, you know, that's huge. That's really big in our world, and it helps complete us.
Absolutely, and super empowering. You know, adoptee as well, that has had a lovely reunion experience, you know, definitely not without its ups and downs as well. But knowing that I took that step to really find out and seek out the wholeness of my identity, you know, I can stand here before you and say, you know, I know now that I am whole, and I am perfect, and I am complete.
Right.
In Jesus, first and foremost, I'm whole, perfect, and complete now in my story, because the circle has been filled in, the puzzle piece has been found, and that missing thread in this tapestry of my life is no longer missing. And
right.
So I have the, you know, I've had that privilege. You know, and as an American adoptee, I have, you know, we have more of a privilege perhaps to be reunified at some point
right.
in our lives. And a lot of the international adoptions, they don't have that same privilege a lot of times. Sometimes they do.
Right.
And miraculous
right.
things do happen. And so what about for the international adoptee? What have you seen in their processes as far as putting these pieces together?
Well, you know, I'm like you, you know, we are fortunate to, you know, be, you know, adopted in the United States. And like you said, to have the ability to have, you know, that connection. You know, one example I've seen that I have a friend that is an adoptee who also then in turn decided to adopt. And her daughter is from China. And so in lies the ability for her to have reunion and then for her daughter to possibly not. And, you know, I know that's an ongoing process, and I don't know whether that ability is even going to be there for her daughter. I know that my friend obviously would, you know, do anything for her daughter to help her make some type of connection. And I think that, you know, hopefully someday there will be. But, you know, that is out there, that there's not that ability to give her any real answers. I mean, there is a little bit of her story of which the, you know, agency had, you know, told, you know, my friend, her mother, and, you know, this is all they know. So then that's it for quite a while until, you know, like you said, if there is that ability to then find out their history, sometimes there's not. And I, for one, I know that that would be so absolutely difficult for me to know that, you know, we all kind of feel that way anyway, this lack of being able to know our information. But then to have that possibility to never know, that really changes the game, I think, and the thought process and everything for the adoptee.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that, you know, definitely comes up for a lot of people. And listeners, I will be joined by a lovely Korean adoptee at some point in these next few weeks. We did have to reschedule our interview with Carissa Woodrick this morning, and I'm really looking forward to sharing with her and hearing more about that international adoption piece that's just a little bit different than the United States adoption. So thanks for that,
right,
Pam. And, you know, I know you have got a full and busy schedule today, and so I want to go ahead and release you back to your day and just truly thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on with us this morning. I know I am leaving here with a wealth of information that you shared with us about the AAC, about the heart of the adoptee, and your beautiful story. You know, I'm so sorry for your losses that you have experienced during your journey, and I am so grateful for each one of the reunions that you have been able to experience and how your life is impacting the lives of those that you touch. So thank you so much, Pam, for touching my life, for touching our listeners' lives, and really spending some amazing time, and I hope to do this again and continue our relationship as we journey to raise awareness on this beautiful adoption triad, one conversation at a time.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. And, you know, thank you for doing all you do for adoptees also.
Well, thank you. It is definitely my heart. It is my passion and my joy and privilege to stand shoulder to shoulder with adoptees and their families to help them figure out these missing pieces, because they are there, and that needs
right.
to be acknowledged and validated. And some of that pain and trauma can truly be relieved by starting the communication process and working through all of those beautiful issues that we are unique to be privileged to. So,
right.
Beautiful.
Well,
yeah,
you.
Well, enjoy your day. Keep us posted. And I am understanding that if we go to the AmericanAdoptionCongress.org.
Right, right.
That is how we can stay in touch with you and what is happening
uh-huh.
with the AAC.
That's right. That'll get you there, and there's a reading list, and like I said, some of our keynote speakers are on there. My radio show widget is on there, so there's quite a bit of information. Of course, we'd love if you become a member, if you'd love to come to the conference too. Again, that's April 9th through the 13th of 2014 in San Francisco. And all the information, if not already up there, will be up there soon. And you can, you know, email anyone on the list if you have any questions.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Kath. And is there any closing thought beyond that that you would like to leave our listeners with this morning?
You know, I think, honestly, I think we need to just really, you know, sometimes focus on ourselves and give ourselves that breathing room and, you know, be able to use our faith and our energy to kind of, you know, make those strides for ourselves. It's really difficult, you know, in a family and in anything else you're doing to focus on yourself. And, you know, especially what I know most of, obviously, is being an adoptee. So, but everyone, that goes for everybody in the triad, you know, just give yourself that permission, you know, learn as much as you can and try to enjoy as much as you can of the experience.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pam. You are a blessing. And have an amazing day, and I will look forward to the next time that we connect.
All right. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. So, listeners, you have been treated to an amazing conversation with Pam Kosky and myself, Leanne Parsons, the voice of the adoptee. And I am very, very privileged and very humbled to have been able to spend this morning with you, and I do not take it lightly that you are tuning in to listen. If you would like to get a hold of me to find out more about the work that I do with adoptees and their families, you can contact me at 505-412-1817. Is my contact phone number. You can also find me on Facebook at Leanne. Well, you can just go to Leanne Parsons. That's my personal page. And from that page, you can find me at the Walk Your Talk Coach or the Tapestry of Adoption, the voice of the adoptee. You can also find me on Twitter at Leanne the Coach. You can find me on LinkedIn. And you can find me on Pinterest as well. And I am here to be of service to each and every one of you as you journey this thing called life. You know, we really never have to be alone. We never have to walk this life alone and these journeys alone. Whether you are part of the triad or not, I am definitely for you, and my desire is to change this world one conversation at a time. So I love you all. I thank you all so much for tuning in, and I look forward to chatting with you again on November the 7th on my show, Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And I am also going to be on the Life Coach Chat. And I'm going to be on with two amazing new coaches that are joining Life Coach Radio Network. And we are going to be chatting together on Monday, October the 21st at 7 p.m., and we're going to be talking about rocking the roles and really embracing the roles that each one of us play in life, in our families and in the workplace, and how to establish that work-life balance. So again, this is Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach and the voice of the adoptee, and I am very, very honored and humbled that you could spend this time with us. Have a beautiful day and an amazing weekend, and I look forward to connecting soon.